Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's Church. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist.
As you are able, please stand and join us in singing hymn number 408, as found in either in your bulletin or the blue hymnal.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us, that we may continually be given to good works through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the book of Amos. Seek the Lord and live, or he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire, and it will devour Bethel with no one to quench it. Ah, you that turn justice to wormwood and bring righteousness to the ground. They hate the one who reproves in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from them levies of grain, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions, and how great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and push aside the needy in the gate. Therefore the prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. The word of the Lord. Reading from the letter to the Hebrews. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since, then, We have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these things. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age. Houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. The Gospel of the Lord.
This week, I saw a video. I'm not going to show you the video, but I will show you a picture in a minute. This week, I watched a video of a family that went on a boating trip in Puget Sound. And in the video, the family is out on the sound having a lovely day, and a group of three whales comes to check them out, as whales are wont to do. And the whales are swimming by the boat and under the boat. And the father in the group is trying to help his family experience the awe of this moment and these beautiful big creatures. And the photographer in the family who made the video is trying to catch the whales on film. And the rest of the family, sadly, is completely frightened. They're afraid that the whale is going to overturn the boat. They want to get out of there. The whale's under the boat, and they want Dad to start the engine. And he's like, I'm not starting the engine while the whale is under the boat. And at one point, one of them even calls 911 to tell the police she's afraid the boat is going to be overturned by these whales. Now, this video was posted, as you might imagine is common on social media, with lots of political commentary and connections of the video to the politics of the day. I'm uninterested in that. What I am interested in was that as I watched this video, I really had the sense that these people have not in their life been introduced to mystery. That if they attend a house of worship, it's not one that is interested in mystery. Because in mystery, we encounter that which is greater than us, that which is bigger than us, certainly that which we cannot always understand. And that sometimes that produces a little bit of anxiety. And so what I felt sad about for this family was that they couldn't experience the awe of the moment of these whales swimming around them in all of their majestic beauty, as well as their anxiety. There's nothing wrong with being afraid that the whales might turn the boat over. They're huge. They don't usually turn boats over, but it's understandable to feel anxious about that. But when the anxiety keeps you from feeling the awe, that's a real sadness to me. That's a real loss to me. And it really struck me that part of the spiritual life is that ability to hold awe and a little bit of anxiety together. And I remembered that last week Jesus talked about accepting the kingdom of heaven like a little child, and it made me think of this picture. And don't worry, the sanctuary party has their own copies of the picture, so they don't have to get up and move around. All I have to do is work the technology correctly. which it turns out is not as easy as it ought to be. There. Okay. There we go. This is my great niece Shelby. She's now a teenager and would probably kill me if she knew I was making her the subject of a sermon. But this was when she was a little girl and her family had gone on a trip somewhere, probably St. Martin's, since that's somewhere they go a lot, and she has a St. Martin's t-shirt on. And they went to an ocean park of SeaWorld kind of place, and Shelby had this picture taken. Now, Shelby doesn't generally do things she doesn't want to do. So my sense is that she really wanted to have this picture taken. But she's also given that seal a little bit of side eye. Right? So she's excited to be there and a little nervous. Children have to do that a lot. Children are aware, painfully aware, that the world is so much bigger than them. So children often have to negotiate balancing their interest and curiosity with their anxiety. I've talked to you before about how much I enjoy watching little kids, very little kids, run from mom or dad a certain distance and then stop and look back and make sure they're still there before they turn around and run a little further. And then reaching that point where the anxiety overcomes the curiosity and then they run back. Right? What I want to suggest to you is that this dynamic may be part of what Jesus was talking about last week when he said, receive the kingdom as a child. That the reality is that none of us ever gets away from that sense of the greatness of God, the degree to which God outsizes us and outpowers us and is never able to be completely understood by us, and that what is possible is to have a little anxiety and about that and to be completely in awe and completely in love with God. That's the challenge of our spirituality. That's the challenge of faith. That ability to hold a little bit of anxiety and a whole lot of awe together. And to not let the anxiety keep you from feeling the awe. In the reading that we heard today from Amos, it's an interesting reading. First of all of chapter 5, God says, I'm getting rid of it. It's all going away. Y'all messed up royally, and I'm taking it all away. And seek me and seek to do good and seek to do better. And my sense is, I'm going to come and destroy all your stuff is not exactly the best motivational approach. And it has left scholars looking at chapter 5 of Amos and going, what in the world is going on here? What we realize is that God is saying through Amos, everything that made you feel normative and secure is going away. The northern kingdom that Amos preached to worshipped at Bethel and at Gilgal. And in one of the verses in chapter 5 that we don't hear in the text, in this really, in the Hebrew, really intriguing alliteration that makes it sound almost like a heartbeat, this boom, 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 God says, I'm taking Bethel away and I'm completely destroying Gilgal. And all of those, you know, it doesn't really matter that I cheat people all week long because I go to Bethel and make my offering and praise God every Sabbath, or I go to Gilgal and worship. And so it doesn't matter what I do the rest of the week. And God says, I'm taking all that stuff that makes you feel secure away, and I'm challenging you in the face of that to trust me. All you can depend on is me. How you want to act if the truth is all you can depend on is me? It's a challenging, challenging text. And it's a text that calls for radical trust. And radical trust is a big risk. And you betcha we human beings feel anxious when we take those big risks. That whale could overturn our boat. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. The same thing is true in the gospel that we heard today. In the gospel that we heard today, the young man comes to Jesus and he's been working on his spiritual life. God love him, he's been working it. He has studied the law, he has studied the prophets, he's studied the scriptures, he's doing the things he's supposed to do, and he comes to Jesus and he really wants Jesus to mirror him, to see his hard work, to praise him for it, and encourage him to go a bit further. And the text says that that's what happens. It says Jesus looked at him and loved him. And I'm sure that Jesus did. Loved him for his dedication, loved him for his hard work. And Jesus knew that the next step was going to be the scary one. And he tells him, you've done it, you've done well, you've done really great, you have one thing left to do and it's a doozy. Give it all away. Give away all your stuff. Which is an invitation to radical trust in God. And that's scary. That's way too scary for the young man at this point. Maybe later he got it. But it's that anxiety that goes with radical trust. And we know that that's the meaning of the story because Jesus tells us that. Then in the very next part, the disciples say, well, wait, explain this to us. And he says, well, you know, riches, things that make you feel secure, they get in the way. Makes it harder. And the disciples say, who can be saved? And that's where Jesus makes his crucial point. For humans, it's impossible. For God, all things are possible. And that's the message, right? That's the message that little kids enact for us sometimes. It's impossible for us to make ourselves safe. There's a lot of stuff in the world today about people wanting to feel safe. And I get that. I want to feel safe too. But you know what? In terms of the cosmos and the universe and our standing before God, we can't do anything to make ourselves saved. We can't do anything to make ourselves safe other than trust in God. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. To be so fascinated and in awe of God, who is so great and can do all things, and who clearly loves us so much. We feel awe and depend on that. Even though that dependency and that trust makes us anxious. The challenge of our faith is to risk it all. The challenge of our faith is to feel the anxiety of risking it all and still feeling awe and love for God. That's what the family in the boat couldn't do. That's what, for a moment, my great niece was able to do, what we're all able to do from time to time, sometimes for just a moment. But those moments are important because they are moments of deep spirituality. When we're able to hold both the anxiety and the awe.
As you are able, please stand and join me in reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He has suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry.
Taste and see the Lord is good.
Gracious God, you enrich our lives with an abundance of good things. Our tables overflow with your generosity. Help each of us journey through a life of stewardship, thankful for every meal and blessing.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Gracious God, you call us to your table to share the taste of eternal life here and there hereafter. We pray for all people of faith, particularly for Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael and deacons for mission. We pray for Malcolm, who is to be baptized on All Saints Sunday.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
As we gather at your table, we anticipate the feast at the fulfillment of time. We give thanks for Neil, Carolyn, Belinda, Dixie, Carl, Richard, Nancy, Christopher, James, Karen, Kristen, Bill, Lana, Eleanor, Kelly, who are celebrating birthdays, Jan and Andy, Nancy and William, Lisa and Benjamin, Molly and Rob, Rachel and Brian, Carrie and David, Kara and Aaron, who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, and for Roberto, Erica, Becky, and John, who are celebrating baptismal anniversaries.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Gracious God, we recognize that the abundance of our supermarkets is not shared by many of your children around the world. We pray for all those who are hungry or are in any distress. We also pray for those who seek to help our world and its people, Donald, our president, our legislatures, and judges, loaves and fishes, Yana, peacemakers, and for Courtney James, I'm sorry, for Courtney, James, Joel, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, and Stephen, who serve in our armed forces.
May they taste and see that the Lord is good.
Gracious God, most experience life as a feast of opportunities. We give you thanks for these many blessings, and we pray for those whose lives are far from the abundance you attend. We pray particularly for all who are sick, all who are addicted, and all who are homeless, remembering especially Mike, Stephen, Ruthie, Ron, George, Hope, Charlotte, Dan, Carolyn, Christine, Caitlin, Helen, Jessica, Rusty, Pete, Sid, Ken, Lisa, Donald, Don, Nancy, Victor, Mary, Jean, Nancy, Marilyn, Nancy, Kate, Carol, John, Ben, Arlene, BJ, the people of Indonesia, and all who are affected by natural disaster.
May they taste and see the Lord is good. Now gathered at your table, O God, are Sarah, John, Gage, Jeff, and all those who have departed this life.
May they taste and see that the Lord is good. Almighty God, we thank you for making the earth fruitful so that it might produce what is needed for life. Bless those who work in the fields. Give us seasonable weather, and grant that we may all share the fruits of the earth, rejoicing in your goodness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. As Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me."
Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with Mary the God-bearer and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, we now sing.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. The gifts of God for the people of God.
In remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Chris and Craig, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts that those to whom you go may share with us in this holy communion. We who are many are one body because we all share one bread and one cup. Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.